Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A couple of texts here before we get down to business. Jacob's watching on YouTube, the Chris and Amy show. You can watch us. He says,
hello, Jacob.
I've got probably 20 to 30 Lego sets still in the box.
Lots of racing cars.
Okay,
well,
yep.
All right, Jacob. One of my really good friends has, he's got a condo full of Lego sets that are up, and then he's got more that he has to erect.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? You have to say you erect Legos?
I think you erect
unfortunately.
Sets. You don't. You build Legos.
Yeah.
You erect sets.
You erect Lego sets.
No, okay. You don't. Not with Legos. Legos are building. They're blocks. You know, erector sets?
The erector set.
That's what you erect.
Oh, I see. Harambe has checked in via text at 314-436-7900 and says his son is almost 12 and absolutely loves Legos. Yeah. Well, thanks for checking in. If you're almost 12, you should love Legos.
You should. I mean, everybody should love Legos. Oh, my gosh. I think Legos say, like, you know, I don't know, 3 to 99, and they said, unfortunately, Dick Van Dyke now can't play with Legos anymore.
Oh, you mean the age appropriate.
Age appropriate,
okay.
3 to 99.
So can I have to admit something.
Yeah.
It was an impulse.
Okay.
I was in Target about 3 weeks ago. No, it was four. It was probably a month because I was getting ready for the old Christmas.
Yeah.
And looking for decorations and walking past, I was going to the front, you know, to the checkout and cutting through and walked through the toys and saw the Lego sets. And I went, oh, what is that?
Yeah.
And there was a bonsai tree. And I bought it.
I haven't erected it yet.
But I have a Lego. It's the first Lego set I've bought, I think, maybe ever.
You need to erect that thing.
I'm going to erect it. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
I think you build it.
Well, you
erect a set. You build Legos.
Maybe Dave Simons knows. He's the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, and he is with us now on KMOX. Dave, real quick, do you build or do you erect Legos?
Oh, that's good. Well, I think of the old erector set.
Yeah.
So that's in my mind.
Yeah.
So I guess, but no, I think you build Legos.
Thank you.
That's the way I would do it.
That's what I said.
Got it. All right.
You build Legos because they're blocks, like building blocks. That's
it. What do you do with the Jenga? Do you build that or do you erect that?
Well, Jenga? No,
you stack it.
You stack it so that you can tear it down.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, I guess we should talk about finances.
Yeah, since we... This isn't why you're here.
Okay, Dave, we've talked about this, you know, New Year's resolutions, and maybe you want to get all your stuff in order. You want to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
How do you recommend people start off the year the right way financially? And I get it that everybody's situation is different, but are there some bullet point issues that you think, if this is not taken care of, get it taken care of now?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. The easy answer, of course, is, okay, you sit down and you make sure you're going to increase your 401k contribution like you wanted to do for a while, or you're going to finally put together a budget. Okay, that's obvious. So let me come at this from a different angle, because here's something that I see as a problem all the time. It's one of those things that people know they have to do. They talk about it all the time with their spouse, but because of inaction and apathy or whatever, they never get around to do it. And that is this happens every single day, many times across the country, where someone is dying without a will, without any instructions of what to do if they die prematurely, without any kind of a trust. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. And I guarantee there are some people right now somewhat looking sheepishly at their radio and going, ooh, shoot, he's talking about me. I've been talking about this for a while. And you're not going to do it unless you put it on your calendar to say, okay, dear, this Saturday, we are going to sit down and we're going to figure out how we want our money dispersed if something happens to us prematurely. And then we're going to call some attorney, a lawyer, estate planning attorney, and we are going to get a will put together. Or if you did so years ago when your kids were little, but now those kids are older and they have their own kids, you might want to update that. So that would be first and foremost, outside of the usual budgeting and investing and all that, look at updating or finally putting together a will. I'm amazed at how few times this happens.
So what is the downside of not doing it? Just how difficult will life get if that's not taken care of?
Okay, so let's look at a hypothetical, a normal example. You've got a wife and a husband, and you've got some kids, all right, and the husband passes away. Under law, under state law in particular, the wife would get the money and there should be no questions asked, unless the husband had been married before. And then you've got the ex coming forward and saying, well, I'm entitled to something, and that could get tied up into probate. Or even Uncle Charlie shows up and says, you know, Bob told me on a fishing trip that he was going to leave me, blah, blah, blah. And I've even gotten this written piece of paper about it. Avoid any of those problems. So that is really important. Now, that's just a traditional way. If you've got a larger extended family and you've got a lot of folks who that you do business with, for example, and you've got some business, there's no reason why that has to be an issue if you get to an attorney and put together a will. I think one thing, let me add this, on a trust, I think a trust, a lot of times, most people probably don't need that. That's usually for people who have tens of millions of dollars or who want a little bit more privacy. For most people, just a simple will. And we're talking a few $100. It's not that expensive and well worth it.
You know, there's a pretty clever set of commercials where maybe they show a touching scene where it's a dad telling the son, one day you're going to get this car, or one day you're going to get the lake house. And then it cuts in, doesn't count, because just telling a family member you're going to inherit this or that. How detailed do you suggest people be with things like that?
I tell you, when the lawyer sits down, Amy, that lawyer is going to say, we are going to get very granular here. We're going to dig into the weeds. And here's another thing, too. If you've got enough assets where this is a big of a deal and you've got young kids, do you really want your 18-year-old, or even when they turn 21, to inherit a lot of money? They'll probably blow right through it. So that's another reason why people of a certain level of net worth will say, no, I want my child to be taken care of, so I'm going to have a successor trustee. You know, it might be my sister-in-law or something. But when that child turns 21, he or she only gets 20% of that money. And then at 25, and then at 30, and then 35, the rest is distributed. That's very, very common. So there are a lot of different ways to peel back this particular issue, which is very, it can be very, very complicated. Let me add one more thing, because this just happened. This I had to be involved in it, and it's property. And that is really illiquid. And there are people who, let's say in families, well, you know, my brother and sister, we're going to inherit the property. Okay, great. But what if one of the siblings doesn't want to own the property because it's a pain in the you know what, and you have to pay property taxes on it? Where the other sibling says, are you kidding? That's been in our family for 50 years. How can we sell it? It has destroyed families. So this is where the older parents need to sit down with their kids, say, we've got this other property. Who's going to want it? And then how are we going to distribute that upon our death?
I mean, it is all so complicated. How is it important to have an attorney or somebody like that to go through all of this and help you manage it? Because I would also think that it, I mean, obviously it costs money to have an attorney too, but is it worth it to do that? Or what if you don't have the resources for it?
Yeah. So on that, Chris, you can, I really think it's worth it to have an attorney, but if to your point, if you don't have a couple grand or whatever to spend, you can go online and search. This is a very popular way to do this and say, look, my situation's not that complicated. I don't have extra property and I don't have a lot of extra assets. But I just want to make sure that it's taken care of properly with my wishes. You go online, you can actually have it certified legally, and it might cost a couple hundred bucks to do, to have a will. And it is well worth it. And by the way, this is a really interesting topic. This is perfect timing. I don't know if you guys saw this. I just saw it this morning. There's a research firm called Wallet Hub. Mm-hmm. And they just came, this is crazy, we're talking about this. They just came out with 176 cities, financial resolutions rank. What city does the best job of their citizens keeping up with financial resolutions for the new year? And they went into a lot of methodology, which I won't bore you with here. For whatever reason, number one is Fremont, California. But number two, our neighbors to the west, Overland Park, Kansas. Second best out of 176 cities. Where does St. Louis reside? Sort of in the middle. I'm going down to it now. Let me see. It is, I passed it by. It was like 65th or something out of 176. So do that with what you will. I found that somewhat fascinating.
Well, they're not listening to you. That's the problem.
Oh, here it is. No, it's actually a little worse than I thought. St. Louis is 79th. So sort of in the middle of the 167. And they base that on access to banks. They base that on poverty levels. They base that on mortgage affordability, a lot of different things. They're like, oh, man, times are tough, and I don't think I'm going to keep up with my resolution. They look at 401k contributions through plans and what have you. So for some reason, Overland Park is doing a great job. Us here in St. Louis, nah, not so much.
Okay, Dave, we do have a texter. It's kind of a unique question. Might be more of a therapist question even than a financial advisor, but I know you probably have to serve in both roles. Texter says, okay, our net worth is over $1 million, and it's just me and my husband, but I have about 45 nieces and nephews, and we only like 10 of them. Any suggestions? I guess maybe the awkwardness. Any suggestions? Which is kind of interesting because you may have kids or grandkids that you're not particularly fond of, that you don't trust. How do you suggest navigating that?
Okay, so there are spousal rules again that you're not going to run into a lot of trouble if just one of you passes away, because the other spouse is entitled by law then to take over those assets. Unless somebody has already, of course, written something down that, yeah, my niece over here gets my jewelry collection or whatever. But outside of that, no problems. It's when the second one passes away that you've got a real mess. And everyone's hiring their own attorneys to get a piece of that million plus. So if you want to avoid that, yes, you get an estate a planning attorney. It could be a simple will in a case like this when you've got dozens of relatives. You might want to put a trust together. You don't have to specifically put a name. And don't let Betty Lou get any of this. You don't have to be quite to that level, but you can just say, this is the name, this is their address, and this is what I leave to them. It could be an actual dollar amount or a percentage. It's not that complicated. Mm.
You know, I've heard stories, and maybe it's only in TV shows and movies, but you hear things about people challenging wills, you know, where because they say, so-and-so leaves a certain amount of money to one kid, not another, and the other kid says, nope, that's not going to happen. So then they go to court and they try to get it reversed. Is a will not ironclad?
Well, it mostly is. It's a good question, Chris, but that's why you have to have an attorney sign off on this. And I had mentioned going online. Yeah, if you don't have the resources, but really, 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 it is worth having that attorney put with a firm backing this to put the stamp of approval on. But this happens a lot. It happens with divorce situations and multiple marriages. And to your point, yes, you could have one kid who's estranged and who comes back into the picture and says, hey, I'm blood relative. I'm the son. I know that we hadn't talked in 10 years, but I'm still entitled to this. They get a good attorney, and it's possible. But if you've got something in a will that spells it out, no, I'm of sound mind, and I want 100% after my wife and I pass away, 100% of my assets go to my son, blah, blah, blah. It's almost impossible for that other child to come in and get anything.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's all we need to know, because I got a kid that I am just not. I'm not giving him
you're not
anything.
Happy with, you know. No.
It's the family with me, Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, with me it's day to day. You know, some days they're in the will, the next day I don't think so.
As one quote goes, with kids, I don't play favorites, but I do play least favorites.
Yes. Hell yes. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Let's just be honest here. There are parents out there, many, many parents who have a favorite child. They just can't admit it. Oh, I love all my kids.
I think it's my brother. He was the only boy. He was the youngest. And oh my goodness.
And your brother's not so much of a square, you know?
Oh, he's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dave Simons, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
Dave is a partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, and he's with us on 104.1 FM KMOX.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Football season is ongoing. The playoffs, NFL playoffs, will begin this weekend. Wild card weekend. One of the real, truly great, I think, sports weekends of the year is the NFL wild card weekend. Got a bunch of games going on and football on Saturday and Sunday. So it's just, it's awesome. I love it. The Rams are in. In case you're wondering, they will play against the Carolina Panthers. And Amy and I yesterday spent a little bit of time talking about the Rams, and with the playoff field set this past weekend, are you, and we asked the question, for those of you, because it's been 10 years, we are just now over 10 years, I think it was January 3rd of 2016, the last St. Louis Rams game played. And the question we were talking about yesterday or asking you is, are you still hate watching them or are you indifferent? And we thought, hey, maybe this should be our question of the week. So you need to follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX, and you can vote in our Twitter poll. And that is the question that'll be asked. Are you still hate watching the Rams? Are you indifferent about it? Like you don't care anymore? Or are you still a fan of the Rams and are rooting for them this weekend against Carolina? So that's the question. So
how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? I think I'm more indifferent about the Rams than anything else. Just because of what they did. See, I'm not a Rams fan, and I did root for them when they were in the Super Bowl because it was great for St. Louis. I was excited for the city. You know, I grew up a Bears fan, right? So it's not like, you know, there's a little bit of a conflict there, but it's hard not to root for your hometown, right? And so my problem with them is the same as everybody else. I hate what they did to this city. I hate the NFL allowed it. And I hate the Kroenke trashed the city on the way out. Nobody deserved it. Because I have talked about this a million times before, that when the Rams were here for that last 13 years, when they didn't do any better than finish 500, and that only happened a couple of times in the last 13 years here, most of those seasons were under 500. They were a bad football team. And that dome was still getting 55,000 people to show up. Still, I mean, you have a terrible football team that's on the field, and 55,000 people are coming through the gates to watch your team play and support you. And this piece of crap on the way out, Stan Kroenke, on the way out says St. Louis can't support a football team. Yeah, they can. They clearly can.
Yeah. Well, they supported a UFL team.
They're supporting a league that nobody even knows who the players are.
Right. And in numbers that dwarf the numbers in other UFL cities. I mean, this is a football city. Everything Stan Kroenke said was a lie. I will say I feel indifferent. I don't hate watch. I feel indifferent in this way. They're dead to me. And if something's dead to you, I feel like you don't hate watch it. You just don't care about it. You don't think about it, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And that's probably really, how a lot of people feel.
In the grand scheme of things, I feel like the Rams were such a big part of my life, but at the same time were something of a blip in St. Louis history. Because what was it? Was it 96 to 2014? How long was it?
Yeah, that's about right.
So just under 96. 20 years?
Yep.
Which is a long time, but somehow feels short to
me. It's not a long time to have a franchise.
It's not a long time to have a franchise. It feels really short to me.
It is.
And so, yeah.
Because once you have a franchise in town, you just expect they're going to be around forever.
Right. Because when I was little, people talked about the football Cardinals. And then, of course, it was a huge deal when we got the Rams. But then I think the whirlwind of them being terrible and then the very best, the greatest show on turf, and then terrible again, it felt like a whirlwind. And suddenly they're gone. And you're like, what in the world just happened? That's how I feel with the Rams.
And I get that. I have a disdain for owners who are like Kroenke.
Yes.
Who are like Fisher in Oakland, who was allowed to make his team awful purposely for years, and then the league rewards him with a new team, a new stadium, and a new city.
Yeah.
That's, screw that, man. If you can't invest in your team, you shouldn't be allowed to move it and get a new stadium if you want. You just shouldn't be. But that's what happens, and the fans get screwed. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Those of you who have student loans who are way past due, at least some of you, might have your wages garnished. That will take effect this month. Oyin Adoyin. I cannot say it. I'm going to get it right by the time we get back. I promise you. We will talk about it with a Wall Street Journal reporter that is next on KMOX.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Geteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Yeah, if you've got student loans, this is a month for those of you who are past due, well past due, that maybe you will see some wages garnished. That is taking place this month. To talk about it with us from the Wall Street Journal is Oyin Adedoyin, who is a finance reporter for the Journal and joins us now on 104.1 FM KMOX. Oyin, good to talk to you. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We are doing okay. And I imagine that for people who thought they had their student loans forgiven, this is, you know, and now with the new administration in office, that this is sort of a shock to people that they are now going to be responsible for, paying these loans back and now having their wages garnished. So how is this going to work and who exactly is going to be affected?
Yeah, it's been a really stressful time for borrowers. You know, I mean, even the last few years with the pandemic pause and then, you know, sudden jump back into repayment, a lot of borrowers have already seen some of the consequences. If they've missed, you know, more than 90 days of payments, they've seen triple digit credit score drops already. And, you know, now the Education Department said that it expects the first notices of wage garnishment to be sent to about 1,000 borrowers in default by this week, and that notices are going to increase in scale monthly. And so, you know, those are borrowers who haven't made a payment on their student loans in more than 270 days. And especially for those who haven't made a payment in over 360 days, they are especially at risk of, you know, seeing up to 15% of their wages automatically deducted.
Do you know what the overlap is in the sense that the people who are going to see their wages docked to pay these student loans, are they the same people, all the same people who are going to have their student loan forgiven?
No. So it seems like people who are going to experience wage garnishment are not necessarily in that same boat as those who are supposed to have their loans forgiven. Now, this is a really confusing time, and you know, a lot of student loan advisors were saying that they're concerned about people who were in the, you know, saving on a valuable education plan, you know, the SAVE plan, where that has now been dismissed. So, you know, the 7 million borrowers that are in that boat are in a particularly confusing spot because they're not sure, you know, maybe they are supposed to get some kind of forgiveness, but they've been in a holding pattern, or maybe they're supposed to be transferring out to another income-driven repayment plan, but, you know, they've been in a forbearance period, too, where they haven't been making payments. So there are millions of borrowers that are either going to transition into this, you know, wage garnishment, potential wage garnishment sector, or they're going to transition somewhere else. We just don't even know where they're going yet.
Do we know if some of the people in this this group of wage garnishment are postgraduate or undergraduate debt?
That's also something that's a little hard to say. Mm-hmm. If you are in school and you haven't, you know, paid on your loans, let's say maybe you're someone who took out loans for undergraduate, but you're now in a graduate program, you're actually not allowed to take on a new loan until you're at a current status with your pre-existing loans. So for people who are receiving threats of wage garnishment who are currently in school, a piece of advice that I've gotten from an advisor on student loans is that they might consider consolidating that loan because that creates a new loan. It allows you to now borrow again to finish your education, and it at least, you know, defers the threat of wage garnishment so that you can get things back in order.
Oyin Adedoyin, the finance reporter for the Wall Street Journal, is with us on KMOX. And if you've got a lot of people have had student loans. Do we know what the numbers are, though, in terms of how much student loan debt exists now as opposed to maybe 10 or 20 years ago?
I mean, student loan debt has just grown exponentially. A lot of that has to do with the interest that accumulates for borrowers over time on the principal debt that's taken out. So for a lot of borrowers, especially if they've had loans for a long period of time, they might owe more than they actually took out in the first place. We know that the debt level for the federal student loans is roughly around $1.7 trillion now. So that's up a lot from even, you know, 5 to 10 years ago for sure. And then it's part of the reason why, you know, the Biden administration before and now the Trump administration have been trying to find ways to really tackle this problem, because at the same time, there are a lot of graduates that now graduate college with debt, but maybe they're not able to get jobs to pay it off.
And I know that in some cases, and I don't know exactly how it works, but the interest after a period of time becomes principal. So it's like you can't even, you know, you're right. I mean, you end up owing more, not just in interest, but you owe more on the principal than what you took out. How is that even allowed?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen in a variety of cases. I mean, in the case that I mentioned earlier with loan consolidation, for instance, it all kind of gets added together, you know, to create one new loan. And so that loan can capitalize, and the interest does now become your principal. And, you know, for borrowers who have had loans for a long time, I talked recently to Gen X borrowers who actually have, you know, the highest percentage of student loans, surprisingly, you know, ages 50 to 61, borrowers in that age bracket have a particular burden with student loans. And many of them have consolidated multiple times over the lifetime of that loan, and it's just continued to be added to the principal.
You also note in your piece in the Wall Street Journal how the government starts collecting that money. And you note that defaulted borrowers who haven't made a payment in more than 360 days or taken action to resolve their status could see up to 15% of their wages automatically deducted from their paychecks. But then also the government could withhold the entirety of any tax refunds as well.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, something really crazy happens once you do reach that defaulted period and the department has given prior notice. Then your loan gets transferred to basically like a collections agency. And that entire debt is essentially due. So the government can take many different actions to collect on that loan debt. And so, yes, like you mentioned, one of those actions is taking your, you know, tax refund, for example, if that's within how much you owe, they can take the whole thing if needed, while also at the same time also garnishing wages. So that can be, you know, a 1-2 punch for borrowers who are struggling financially.
Oyin, so we are talking a lot about student loan debt here. What about credit card debt? Because that has been a really big topic of discussion over the last couple of years, and how much credit card debt has grown since the pandemic. Is that continuing to worsen?
I'm not entirely sure whether credit card debt is continuing to worsen. I do know that people who have student loan debt also simultaneously have credit card debt and might have other forms of debt, medical debt as well. And so that creates a really interesting dilemma, right? Because you're trying to prioritize which debt to pay off. And with the threat of wage garnishment, I've seen surveys come out that people are now starting to put student loans above other types of debt. It used to be a little bit lower, you know, people thinking like, oh, I can make this payment at a later date, but I should prioritize, you know, my credit card or my car payment. But now student loans are starting to rise a little bit above some of that other form of debt.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Just going back to what you were saying about borrowers who have student loan debt, how they're older than I pictured. You know, it's between 50 and 61 years old. And they have the highest average student loan debt. And I just wonder how people in that age group probably have a lot of responsibilities, may have, you know, kids who are going to college. And we talked about credit card debt on top of student loan debt. That could be a really tough time for that age group.
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of the forgotten generation in a way, right? And also the sandwich generation, where they are thinking about, you know, should I now take out a loan on behalf of my kids? Because parents are able to take out loans for their children as well. So, you know, when you think about the picture of people who are struggling with student loan debt, a lot of people have one idea, right? Like recent grads, young people, but it really kind of runs the gamut, especially with loan holders who have had this debt for a long time or who are in grad school or pursuing other professional degrees, which tend to also be a higher portion of student debt holders.
So the government right now seems intent on getting this money, and from my impression, they are, you know, kind of jerks about it. Are they offering real support for people who are pretty deep into student loan debt and feel crushed by it? Or is it just a, hey, you're on your own, figure it out kind of thing?
So, you know, as confusing as the student loan landscape is, the government is required to give borrowers, you know, a 30-day notice before they say, okay, we're going to send this wage garnishment order to your employer. So borrowers have time, even if they have reached that, you know, 270-day period or even 360-day period, they have a few options. And so one of those options is that they can just say that this is incorrect. If they notice any incorrect information with their loan balance or how much they're expected to repay, they can fight this. They can object to the wage garnishment order. They could also object to it if, you know, their financial or employment status makes it so that they're unable to pay. So that's one option. We talked earlier about consolidation, which is another option, especially for those who are currently in school still. And another option is also loan rehabilitation. And that's when you can get in touch with the education department directly, and they will set a payment for you, and you have to make about 9 consecutive payments to get back in good standing.
I don't know necessarily if this was part of your reporting, but, you know, as we talk about student loan debt, is there any appetite to address the issue that college is just way too expensive and that the cost of tuition is far outpaced inflation and other big costs because it doesn't feel sustainable? I think Vanderbilt became the first college with an undergraduate program over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's always front and center whenever I am talking to people about student loans, whether they are on the policy side of things or the advocacy side of things, or the advisor side or the students that are struggling with it, right? They feel like, you know, they have to pay all this money for an education and they're expected to pay even more for it back, and it just doesn't add up. I mean, on the institution side of things, you know, what a lot of people don't know because of the way that the finances are structured around education is that the sticker price or the published price that colleges often, you know, show on their website or you can see when you Google a college is more often not what students and their parents actually end up paying. In fact, more institutions have actually been heavily discounting the price of college in recent years. And so a lot of students actually tend to qualify for more aid once they actually apply, and maybe they can negotiate. And so what I've found is that at least students today may be driven by those parents who are Gen Xers who, you know, regret taking on so many loans, are a little bit more financially savvy. They're either choosing to, you know, start with community college and then transfer to a 4-year, or they're trying to get as many scholarships as possible to make that price tag, you know, work for them.
Oyin Adedoyin, finance reporter for the Wall Street Journal. We appreciate your reporting. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And well, here's one thing we do know for sure is that college is way too expensive. If you do want to go, and yeah, it's not going to be for everybody and not everybody should go to college, but we need people in the trades, of course, and it's an important thing that we do have that, but we also need people to go to college too. It just can't be moving forward. We got to get to a place where it's not as damn expensive as it is now, because it is just too expensive. Even in a lot of cases, you go to a state school.
Yeah,
it's just really too much.
They did go up. I mean, anytime you subsidize something and you guarantee, like with government student loans, where you want to help students, but then colleges say, oh, well, we can keep raising the prices because we're going to get these loans subsidized. And you see the colleges just, I feel like, lose their minds with the cost of tuition, taking advantage of the situation. God bless Wash U. I'm so proud that we have Washington University in St. Louis. It's great, blah, 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 blah. They have a great social work program. You want to charge kids $76,000 a year to be a social worker where you're not going to make $76,000 a year, right? That doesn't make sense. To me,
No, I mean, that's...
That makes no sense, but that's, I mean, college is so expensive, and the colleges across the board, not just WashU, I'm just saying, like, that's a tough sell when you're charging that much, and when colleges know that it doesn't matter because somehow they're going to get the loans, they keep raising prices, and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what your major is, what you expect to go into... Once you graduate, it shouldn't cost that much
money.
Well,
no, the reason why I bring that up is because a lot of student loan is held by high-earning postgraduate careers like doctors, yeah. Right? If you become a doctor, you're taking on a ton of medical debt or student debt, but you're going to pay it off.
You're going to pay it off, and it'll take some time, but you're going to pay it off.
But you're not
going to
do that in social work, or you're not going to do that most likely with a theater degree from Yale, which the Wall Street Journal wrote about. That's great. But most people, like let's say you're an art teacher or theater teacher in a high school, that's going to be tough to pay off.
Right. And that's the problem. And I don't know how we solve it, but it's not really sustainable if we do want to have an educated electorate. Right? it's not solvable. Or maybe it is, but I don't think we'll ever do it. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Happy anniversary, Amy. Today is the 5th anniversary of January 6th. One of the great days in American history, according to some.
5 years. Where is the time going?
It does seem like it wasn't that long ago, right?
The Blues won the Cup 7 years ago this summer.
That feels like an eternity ago to me.
That feels like 2 years ago.
It does?
Because the Rams left 10 years ago, and that feels like an eternity.
And that just felt like one day. And then the next day felt like 5 days. And then the next day felt like just a day. We're doing the scene from The Jerk. Which, if you haven't seen it, go see it.
He hates those cans. At any rate, it is the 5-year anniversary of January 6th. That was a bad time.
Yeah, I mean...
That was a real ulcerative for
me. You had some experience, because you were doing the show.
I was Charlie Brennan.
I was currently unemployed.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the couch.
You were out on the street.
I was out on the street, on the couch, watching that unfold and thinking, I cannot believe what's going on here. I just couldn't. And, you know, I had a lot of people, friends of mine, who were like, oh, you think this is bad? What about those riots in Minnesota? Yeah, you're like, yeah, it's all bad. But there's something far worse about people storming a Capitol building because they don't like the way an election turned out. And they literally thought it was stolen from them. I didn't think I would ever see something like people taking those bike racks and pushing them up against cops and then
really
bashing in windows. I never thought I would see that.
It was awful. I mean, I still remember the sinking feeling in my stomach. It didn't feel real.
It did not feel
real.
My
brain couldn't comprehend when people were breaking windows and breaking their way into the Capitol and, you know, members of Congress were running and hiding and they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." And it was just
barricading doors inside the building.
Yeah, it was really. And then the stupid idiot with his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, and then the QAnon shaman.
Oh yeah, that guy.
You know, up there on the dais, and the images coming out of that were just horrific. And it was very fearful because you do start thinking, you know, in the moment, you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to burn this place down, or they're going to kill a member of Congress. They're going to kill Mike Pence. And people say, oh, they weren't going to do that. I was in the back and it was peaceful. I get that if you're in the back, you don't know exactly what was going on, but it wasn't peaceful. And I was very, 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 very critical of the president and of the whole storming the Capitol thing. I thought it was just horrific. It was awful. And I said so. And oh my gosh, one of the worst times of my life, the hate that I got from those on the right. I've been a conservative my whole life. The hate and the awful threats and terrible things that were called into the station and emailed to the station and emailed to me. I had several coworkers say, hey, you should probably stay with someone tonight just to make sure these people don't know where you live.
I mean,
it was awful. I mean, I was just... It was horrifying, and I really started to lose hope. This job has changed me. It's broken me. I just felt so discouraged. I mean, I'm someone who spoke well of Todd Akin and said, listen.
You're a conservative.
And I understood what
voted
happened.
Republican your
I
whole life.
I put myself out there, you know, and being pro-life and all of this. When I say the hate that I got, I mean, horrific things that were printed out and sent here, and you'd get envelopes. I remember being afraid to open envelopes. Anyway, you want to lose faith in humanity.
Well,
yikes.
Here's what you have to know. The people who did that, there's not that many of them.
Awful.
Too many. And they're just lunatics, absolute losers. And I can't imagine being so far gone that you can't listen to somebody give rightful criticism about a bad thing that's happening. And just take it and just listen to it. And you can disagree if you want to disagree. But if that was you sending in death threats, you're a loser. I think you're almost a bigger loser than if you send it to a kicker who missed a kick.
Oh, that poor guy.
The Ravens kicker.
Again, you can lose faith in humanity hearing stories like this.
Stop being a loser.
He and his fiance have to go into hiding,
basically. Crazy.
It's awful. Yeah.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.